You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In light of RFK Jr., a notorious prominent anti-vaxxer, being appointed as the US Secretary of Health and Human Services, many are concerned about what direct consequences we could see as a result of this move. I spoke to a vaccinologist and professor in the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at the University of Auckland, Dr. Helen Petusis-Harris, about the appointment of RFK Jr. and what consequences we could see not only in the US but internationally due to this decision. I start off by asking who RFK Jr. is and how he was able to take up this role.
RFK Jr. is a relative of the Kennedy family, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he is sort of at odds with the rest of his very highly regarded family. He's capitalised on that name for a long time. He's what you call a grifter, I guess, and he's made a lot of money out of, I guess you'd call it quite simply, peddling woo. So many years ago, he set up an organisation that actively disseminates information that's not correct about health matters, in particular vaccines. And it's been essentially so successful that it is probably one of the most important disseminators of misinformation. They create it, which is, you know, disinformation, and then push it out, and it goes globally. So he's been very influential for a long time.
Are there any bases whatsoever for RFK Jr. to be appointed to this role?
No, he doesn't have a health background, and he does not have a science background. He's actually got a background in law, environmental law. So he first off the bat, he doesn't have the what I would consider required credentials for leading Health and Human Services as a start. He's also got no credible background in terms of working in the sector. In fact, he's been actively working against it.
With this move, what will this mean for the spread of mis and disinformation, especially in regards to health initiatives such as vaccinations?
I think we can expect to see a dramatic expansion of misinformation related to not just vaccines, but also other areas of health. And it's already, you know, increased massively since the pandemic, and had been even prior to that. And now I think you're just going to see an absolute explosion of it. Also facilitated by some of those social media platforms, in particular, for example, Twitter X, which Elon Musk has been actively facilitating the spread of this through the algorithms, etc., and some of those influences. So I'm afraid it's just going to explode.
Since US President Donald Trump has come into power, the US has already made a variety of controversial moves in the health space, such as the CDC, FDA, and the National Institutes of Health stopping publishing data, the government indefinitely halting grants for cancer research, withdrawing from the World Health Organization, and publicly censoring public health messaging. Do you believe moves like this will decrease the level of trust those have with health initiatives, not only in the US but also overseas as well?
Yeah, I think this is going to have a substantial impact globally. So unfortunately, I mean, it's already bad enough for the citizens of that country where they're going to be directly impacted by their health services and, of course, the health and medical research that goes into improving people's lives, but also in their surveillance of diseases and the monitoring of these things. You know, bird flu springs to mind. So it puts them in an incredibly vulnerable position. But they're also world leaders, and they're also, or have been, and contributors financially, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of the vast expertise that they have. So you're seeing all this really important research being slashed, and that research isn't just done in the US, but it's also done around the world. So in their investments globally, which of course is helped them with their relationships and given them strategic advantages as well. So it's all kind of wrapped up into a very complex scenario where we're all going to be the worse off for it, no matter where in the world you are.
Regarding the US's decision to move away from the World Health Organization, otherwise referred to as the WHO specifically, how important is the nation in this capacity, and what will this mean for other countries as a part of the WHO?
During the first round of Trump, they withdrew from the WHO right at the, you know, at the time of the pandemic. That was devastating. Now it's going to be, I think, probably even more so, because they are, you know, they're the biggest economy in the world, and they've also, they're wealthy and they've made massive contributions. That, of course, it's not all purely altruistic. It puts them in a very powerful position. But when you take all of that away, you leave everybody else grappling with the gap that's left. And it's not just about the money, but it's also about those individuals with really important knowledge, and taking all of that away leaves those gaps as well, the institutional knowledge as well. And that affects everybody around the world, particularly those most vulnerable.
Since we are only at the beginning of Trump's four-year term, are you concerned that even more moves such as this will occur throughout his tenure as president?
Well, if this is what he's been able to achieve in under 4 weeks, it's hard to imagine how much more damage could be wreaked. I guess what we're going to see is the repercussions of what has already happened. Certainly, I think researchers all over the world, certainly in New Zealand, I know I've got many colleagues who have been directly impacted by what's happened already. And of course, it's just the beginning. So I think we really need to be shoring up our strategies to mitigate it. You know, what are we doing? We can't just sort of throw up our hands and go, oh, this is terrible. We need to figure out what needs to be done so that we don't end up feeling that impact as much as we might otherwise.
Touching more on that point specifically, what do you believe needs to be done to mitigate the spread of mis and disinformation and to help those who have fallen down this pipeline?
I think that's an area where there's a lot of room for improvement. And I think you've got a lot of people trying to do their best to mitigate this and to address it and to have the important conversations. But from what I can see, they tend to be working in silos and they tend to not be resourced. So, you know, in contrast, when you look at something like RFK Jr.'s disinformation machine, there's a lot of money going into that, and there's a lot of leadership and a lot of connections. It's organised. When you look at the efforts that try to mitigate that, they're small and pathetic, really. There's a lack of leadership. Whose responsibility is it? It gets all political. And who's going to fund the people and the tools and everything that we need to try and counter some of this? Because it's not just about doing fact checks. That'll only get you so far, but you've also got, of course, have the people to do the fact checks. But you've also got, you're fighting all those really powerful big tech, the algorithms, the platforms. So any strategy needs to include and encompass all of these facets in order to be successful and in order to, I guess, protect people. And at the moment, it's sort of the Wild West out there. It's just running rampant. And everybody gets exposed, I think. It would be very hard to live your life and not get exposure to some of this this propaganda and this misinformation.
That was vaccinologist and professor in the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at the University of Auckland, Dr. Helen Pitosis-Harris, about the appointment of prominent anti-vaxxer RFK Jr. as the US Secretary of Health and Human Services, and what this will mean heading forward for both the United States but also internationally as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.